This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Okay, good evening, everyone. Shalom Aleichem. Baruchim Abayim. Welcome to tonight's shiur. The Wednesday night shiur. Parshas Chukas. Thank you, everybody, for coming. When Wednesday night becomes Tuesday night, or when Tuesday night becomes Wednesday night, you know, there's Kvitzas Hadarach and there's Kvitzas Hazman. It's like Wednesday came to Tuesday. Baruch Hashem, I have a wedding tomorrow night. Okay, so the Shurim on Sefer Bamidbar are dedicated again by Dr. Zakheim and Mishpachtu Leinishmas of Shmuel Yezim and Rabbi Yaakov Zakheim, Rivka Bas Tovi Halevi, and Rabbi David ben Rabbi Yaakov Tzvi HaKohen. Tonight's Shir is dedicated by, first, my dear friend Rabbi Shachar Amar, Leinishmas, his grandfather Joe Amar, Yosef ben Mazal, whose Yortzai was yesterday, his whole family, for good health, happiness, simchas, and achas, abi askoel tzedek. Tonight's shir is dedicated by the descendants of Harav HaGoyin, Rav Simcha Bunim Lieberman, by the Justman family, Le'iloi Nishmasai. He's one of the great Mechabrei Svarim, one of the great Goinim. He was a Rav in the UK, and then later in Sfas, and over the years I said over a number of his chidushim, and from many of his svarim, he has a series of svarim b'shvilei, and on this occasion, his great zechus should be omed for his mishpacha, ad bias goel tzedek. Tonight she is also dedicated anonymously by a dear friend of mine in Eretz Yisrael. Okay, we have a very amazing topic tonight. For those who learned the Daf Yomi, you probably recently learned the Gemara Masech Daf Edizar and Daf Beis. The Gemara says that in the end of days, God is going to take the Sefer Torah, he's going to put it in his lap, he's going to say, whoever learned this, come get your reward. So some people are going to say, you know, what do you mean? We saved whales. God said, no, I didn't say whoever saved whales should come get your reward. Some are going to say, you know, we recycled plastic. No. God's going to say, no, that's not who I'm giving reward for. One are going to say, no, we created social justice. No. Wrong line. If you want to get reward, you need to learn Torah. So everyone's going to gather and they're going to claim, we learned Torah. We learned Torah. And the Gemara says they're going to gather Urbuvia in great confusion, in great, an admixture. So Hashem says, no, order please, order in the court. Please line up in an orderly way, single file. So the Gemara says, who's going to enter first? Miyad nichnasa lefana malchus roim itchila. Rome will enter first. Why? Because they're chashev. They're important. They're chashev. They're not just regular people. They're chashev of people. And the Gemara tells us, how do we know that someone who's chashev goes first? Because we know on the Yom Tov of Rosh Hashanah, first God judges the king, and then he judges the rest of the people. From there we learn someone who's chashev enters first. So God's going to say, really? You learned Torah? What did you learn? You learned Avnei Milum, you learned Shev Shmaitza, you learned Tzaisa Choshen. What exactly did you learn? You learned more, you know, the Pailas Shagoinim, Rabbi Yosef Engel. You learn Ragachavar. Like, well, what are you learning? You learn Sefer Chasidus, you learn the Bnei Yisaschar. Well, you tell me, Zagibra, what are you learning? They said, no, Ribbon Sham, you have to know. Harbi Shvakim Takninu. We made many markets. We made pizza stores. Harbe Merchatzoy Sosinu, we made bathhouses. Harbe Kesev Azov Herbinu, we amassed silver and gold. Vekulam Layasinu Ela Bishvil Yisrael, Kadesh Yisasku B'Torah, everything we did is so that the Jewish people engage in learning Torah. Amar Lahem HaKadosh Baruch Hu, God says, Shoitim Sheba Oilam, you fools of the world. He doesn't just call them regular fools, but they're fools of the world. They're like all-time great fools. They're in the Guinness Book of World Record fools. They're Hall of Fame fools. Don't you know? Whatever you did for yourself. Tikantem shvakim, you made markets, to situate houses of ill repute, merchatzois, bathhouses, to delight in. Silver and gold, money belongs to me, says God. Only those who learn Torah get reward. Klum yesh b'chem magid zois, ein zois ela Torah, shenemer v'zois ha-Torah, asher sa Moshe, in this week's parsha, v'zois ha-Torah. Miyad, they go out, they're going to walk out dejected. You know who comes after them? Paras, Persia. Now, if it makes you feel good to think that Persia is Iran, then think it's Iran. It's not clear that Paras is Iran. Iran today, it's a hard sell that they're in any way connected to the ancient Persian Empire. But the Gemara says after Rome, Persia will enter. Why? Because they're next in terms of Chashivas. Because in the Nevuah of Nebuchadnezzar and Daniel, first they saw a lion, they saw a bear. Bear is, the Persians are like bears. They eat like bears. They drink like bears. They're hairy like bears. They have no respite like bears. They're always rolling around. So God says, Nu, what did you guys learn? What did you learn? You learned Pnei Yeshua? You learned Rabbi Kiveger? You learned Chassam Sofer? You learned the Marsha, the Maram Shif? What do you learn? What do you learn on Chumash? You learn Chumash with Rashi? You learn Chumash with Ramban? So they said, no. Harbi Gesharim Goshanu. We made a lot of bridges. Harbi Krachim Kavashnu. We waged a lot of wars. We conquered a lot of cities. Harbi Melchama Yisasinu. We waged a lot of wars. And everything we did, V'kulam Layasinu El Beshvil Yisrael. Everything we did was for the Jewish people. Kedei Sheyisasku B'Torah. That they should learn Torah. God said, what are you talking about? Whatever you did for yourself. Kamasha asisem, whatever you did. Letzarech atzmechem asisem, you did it for yourself. Tikantem gesharim, you made bridges to collect taxes. You conquered cities to collect wages. You wars? I make wars, God says. I wage the wars. So the Gemara says, why do these nations enter first? Because they're chashuv. Ask the Gemara, what makes them chashuv? Because their malchus will last until Mashiach comes. Which is an amazing thing. The Gemara says that in the end of days, there'll only be two nations standing. Rome and Persia. Now, the Maral says Persia is Yishmael. The Ben Yoyada says Rome is the United States of America. So here you have it. The Gemara says openly, in the end of days, there will only be two superpowers, USA and Yishmael. And who's going to beat who? If you look in the Gemara in Yuma, the Gemara brings the Machlokes Rav and Rabbi Yochanan. Who will beat who? Will the United States win? Or will Yishmael win? And if you say that doesn't sound very comforting, I told you many times, I'm not here to comfort you. But my interpretation of it is, which world value, which value will last? In other words, will the Western value be the last value standing before Mashiach comes? Or will the world value of Yishmael be the last value? And you can make the case that, you know, does the United States of America even have values that it should last until Mashiach comes? As you should know, the Roman Empire never fell. Nobody ever conquered the Roman Empire. The Roman Empire imploded from within. There was delusionment, there was corruption, and it just imploded from within. Okay, be it as it may, this is the Gemara. In the end of days, Rome is going to want to be rewarded for supporting Torah. Persia is going to want to be rewarded for supporting Torah. So Hashem's going to say, for supporting Torah, you did adopt a kollel? The United States pays for kollel in Eretz Yisrael. Persia pays for kollel in Eretz Yisrael. They attended Adirei Torah when Lakewood had the big event. There were representatives of the United States of America and Persia to support Young Goliath in Lakewood. So what exactly are they claiming that everything they did was for Klal Yisrael to learn Torah? So, in the official Chidushei Maran Riz HaLevi, the little black volume, this is the official, don't be fooled by substitutes, this is the official Sefer, the Brisker Rav Ala Torah. For many years it was not available in America. Not the one they gave you in elementary school when you got over a 75 on your test. That's not the official one. That's Chidushei Agriz, maybe Mipi HaShmua. This is it. Don't say, yeah, I have it together with the Beis HaLevi. No, not that one. the little black book. In the first piece, in the little black book, the Brisker Rav asked the following question on this Gemara in Avodah Zarah. We're talking about in the end of days here. We're talking about in the end of time. We're talking about in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. God doesn't tolerate falsehood. You can't pull a fast one on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You know, the Gemara says in Chagiga that the Arba HaNichnas Lepardes, the four Tanoim who went up into the orchard, they delved into the Kabbalah. One thing they knew is that when they saw blue marble, they cannot say water. Because even though it looked like water, if they would say water, they would disintegrate. Because when you're in close proximity to Hashem, you can't even say something slightly untrue. So this is in the end of days. This is in front of Hashem. Hashem makes an announcement. Anyone who learned Torah, come get your reward. And you're telling me Rome and Persia are going to say they supported Torah? How did they support Torah? How did Rome and Persia support Torah? They're going to lie in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How would they have the audacity to say that they made Times Square for Jews to learn Torah? How will they have the audacity to say that they made stores for Jews to learn Torah? How will they have the audacity to say that not only did they do certain things that Klal Yisrael should learn Torah, everything Rome ever did was so that Klal Yisrael should learn Torah. You're telling me Persia is going to say that every policy they made, every bridge they built, every war they waged was for Klal Yisrael to learn Torah? How could they say such blatant falsehood in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? It's one thing you want to get up in the United Nations and spew lies, but in front of Hashem in the end of days, says the Brisker Rav, and our Rosh Hashiva, Rav Henoch Leibowitz, Zecher Tzedakah Livracha, has the exact same diyuk. Did you notice that God never said they were lying? God didn't say, liars! Shakranim! You didn't do it for Klal Yisrael to learn Torah. God didn't call them liars. God called them fools. There's a big difference between a liar and a fool. God didn't say they're liars. God said they were fools. And if God didn't say they were liars, that means they were telling the truth. Indeed, everything the United States of America and Iran or Rome or Persia ever did is for Klal Yisrael to learn Torah. As we know, Bereishis bara Elokim, Bishvil Yisrael, u'bishvil haTorah nivra ha'olam. The world was created for one purpose. God created the world for people to learn Torah, for Klal Yisrael to learn Torah, for Jews to learn Torah. God created the world for the Jewish people to learn Torah, which means if He created the world for the Jewish people to learn Torah, every single event that happens in the world is for one reason and one reason only. Somehow that Jews should learn Torah. Now, the Romans and the Persians, they never realized how every store they built and every bathhouse they built and every marketplace they built and every war they waged is somehow for Jews to learn Torah. Iran didn't know. The reason they shot ballistic missiles is somehow to cause Jews to learn Torah. Trump didn't know the reason he dropped the bunker bomb on Fordo is so that Jews could learn Torah. He didn't know that. But in the end of days, they're going to all realize that the world was created for Torah and everything they did was for Torah. So God is not going to tell them they're liars because they're telling the truth. In all honesty, everything that any nation in the world ever did, any invention that was ever made, God made elevators. Nations made elevators so that Jews could go to Shiurim on a second floor. And God allowed the nations of the world to make a computer so that people could listen to a Shiur on Zoom. And Hashem made cameras so that people could watch Shiurim on a camera. And chairs were invented because otherwise you can't concentrate on the Shiur if you're not sitting down. Every invention was so that Jews could learn Torah. And in the end of days, it's going to become crystal clear. So the nations of the world, the Persians are going to say, no, pay up. We did everything. We were the biggest supporters of Torah in the world. All of our oil fields, all of our gas, all of our policies are so that Jews could learn Torah. So what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu say? Not you liars, you fools. I know that's why I arranged that it should be done, but that wasn't your kavana. You weren't thinking it should be for that. That wasn't what you intended for. You intended to make a marketplace to put zoinos there. You intended to make a bathhouse to enjoy yourself. You intended to make a bridge to conquer cities. And since that wasn't your kavana, you can't collect on payday. You weren't mechavein. You weren't mechavein that it should be so that Klal Yisrael should learn Torah. But in fact, it was so Klal Yisrael should learn Torah, as the Rambam writes. The Rambam says in his Hakdama to the Parashah Mishnayis, it could be a guy will build a big house. You ever see in Cedarhurst? I know some people think that Mashiach is going to come like in the year 90,000. And in the meantime, we're going to live in these big houses because we don't have to worry Mashiach is going to come. We're going to settle here and we're going to live here for a very long time. And the nations of the world are going to make us very comfortable here. And we're going to be here for a long time. And if we ever have to leave, they're going to knock on our door. They're going to say, Reb Yidla, you have this nice big house. We want to pay a lot of money for this house. And we're going to give you a long time until you pack up all your belongings and go where you want. Even though every single country we've ever been in, they knock on the door, they say, get out in 10 minutes or don't even bring the shirt on your back. We never left any country on our own terms. How many countries have we left in our life? Every country we've ever been. But Cedarhurst is different. Seriously, we're going to build big houses and we're going to be here forever. Even if Mashiach comes, we could still stay. And if we ever want to sell the house, we'll get as much money as we have. Nothing to worry about. People say that I'm being passive aggressive. First of all, no. I'm being straight out aggressive. And this is not passive aggressive. It's called biting sarcasm. There's a very big difference between passive aggressive and biting sarcasm. You need to have a sense of humor. If you don't have a sense, this is not passive aggressive. Just, you know, let's just get our terms straight. But the Rambam says, you know, so you wonder, why is a guy building such a big house? The Rambam says a guy could build a big palace so that one time on a hot day, a chacham is going to be passing by. He's going to take a little shade in the tree and it's going to let him cool off a little bit so that he could learn Torah better later that day. That's the whole reason this guy poured over the marble. He went to a marble store and he poured over it like a ktsois hachlishen, spending time what the marble on the floor in his, should look like. Why? For one time, one guy who's a Talmud Chacham will come into the house and step on that piece of marble. Otherwise, it has no tachlis whatsoever. The entire world was created so that people should know. So why aren't they going to be rewarded? Because that wasn't their kavana. Got the Gemara? That's the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, Daf Beis. Then the end of days, the nations are going to say, everything we did was so that Klal Yisrael should learn Torah. God's not going to say, liars! God's going to say, what? Fools. That wasn't your kavana. So you say, wow, that was a long introduction. What does that have to do with this week's parsha? You ready? Here we go. Vayifnu vayalu derech habashan. Vayitze oig melech habashan likrasam. Hu v'chalamoy la milchama edrei. So Klal Yisrael turned and they went up the road of the Bashan. And Oig, the king of the Bashan, went out toward them, him and his whole nation, to war, Edrei. Vayomer Hashem el Moshe, al tira oisai, don't be afraid of him. Ki biyadicha nasati oisai, v'yas kol amai v'yas hatzai, don't worry. I gave him over to you. He's yours. So if God has to tell Moshe, don't be scared, what does that mean? Moshe was scared, right? If God says, don't be scared, that means he sees that Moshe is scared. Says Rashi, why is Moshe scared? Says Rashi, Moshe was scared to fight with Oig, because Oig had a zechus. What was the zechus of Oig? The zechus of Avraham. Vayavoy hapolit. The refugee came, who's the refugee? Oig, and he told Avram that what? That Loit was captured by Kedor LaOmer. Shenemar kirak Oig melech habashan nishar miyasar ofayim. And Oig escaped from the war, and he told Avraham, your nephew Loit is captured, and he saved Loit's life. Because Avraham Avinu ran after the four kings, and Avraham Avinu rescued Loit. So Moshe Rabbeinu was scared to fight Oig because Oig had a zechus of telling Avram that Lot was captured. So why did Hashem have to tell Moshe, don't be scared? Why would he be scared? Why wouldn't Avraham say, why wouldn't Moshe Rabbeinu say, Oig, you're Shoita Sheba Oilam. It's very nice. You told me Lot was captured, but what was Oig's kavana? His kavana wasn't to rescue Lot. His kavana was that Avraham Avinu should get killed and Oig would marry Sarah. So why was Moshe Rabbeinu scared? Why was Moshe scared to fight Oig? Oh, because Oig has a zechus. What was Oig's zechus? That Oig saved Lot. But why is that a zechus? Oig wasn't mechaven that Avraham should rescue Lot. Oig's kavana was that Avraham should try to rescue Lot. Avraham would get killed, and then Oig would marry Sarah. So we see that when you do a good deed, even though your kavana is rotten, you're rewarded. And yet from the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, the nations of the world are going to say to God, pay up, we supported Torah. And Hashem's going to say, no, you can't get payment because that wasn't your kavana. So we have what we call a full-fledged, bona fide, straight-up contradiction between the Gemara in Avodah Zarah and Rashi in this week's Parsha. From the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, we see a great principle that if you want to get reward for doing a good deed, you need to be mechavein for the good deed. You're not going to get reward for supporting Torah if your kavana was to take a bath or to situate zoinos or to wage a war. You can't be rewarded for supporting Torah if you didn't have a positive kavana. And yet from Oig Melech HaBashan we see that Oig was going to be rewarded for doing a chesed to Lot even though he had a negative kavana. It's the best question you ever heard. Don't make billions, not such a, this is, it's out of this world. It's a straight up stira. The klal of the briskarav, right? What do we learn from the Gemara in Avodah Zarah? That Persia will not be rewarded for supporting Torah, because even though maybe the United States of America was the biggest supporter of Torah in the history of the world, they're not going to get credit. Why? Because that wasn't their kavana. But you don't have to be mechavein to do a good deed. We see from Oig that Moshe Rabbeinu was afraid to fight Oig because Oig saved Lot. And if Oig saved Lot, he's still going to be rewarded despite the fact that his kavano was that Sar should die. I mean, it's counterintuitive. Here, Oig is going to be rewarded for trying to rescue Lot, even though Oig had negative kavana, and yet the Persians will not be rewarded for supporting Torah, even though the Persians had neutral kavana. Got the question? Who wants to say over the question? What's the question? Say it over. Zogiber. Moshe was afraid that Oig would get rewarded. So Yossi's saying, good, the nations of the world are not rewarded, even though in reality they supported Torah because they weren't mechavein to support Torah. And yet Oig Melech HaBashan, Moshe was afraid to fight them because of the reward that Oig had for trying to save Lot, even though his kavana was that Sarah should die, so that Avraham should die and he would marry Sarah. So in this sefer, Shaila Torah, a brisker sefer, they bring an answer. It's an answer. I'm not a supporter of this answer. They say like this. Really, if you do a good deed, if you're not mechaving for it, you're not going to get reward. So then why was Moshe afraid to attack Oig? Because Hakaras HaTov is different. He had to have gratitude for Oig. Oig saved Lot. And when it comes to Hakaras HaTov, it's not important what the person's kavana was. If they helped you out, you need to show them appreciation. And the proof is, we know we're now to afflict an Egyptian. Why? Because they hosted us for 210 years. Now, their kavana was not to supply hospitality to the Jewish people. They weren't like Motel 6, you know? They weren't coming knocking on the door giving room service and fuzzy towels and free slippers. They were brutalizing us. But at the end of the day, they gave us room and board for 210 years, and we have to show them appreciation. So we see that when it comes to Hakaras HaTov, Kavana is not important. I'm not a fan of this answer for a number of reasons. Number one, why are we showing appreciation to Oig for saving Light? Light should show appreciation to Oig for saving him. Light's not our guy. I mean, he is indirectly, maybe later on with David HaMelech, but David HaMelech is not even here now. I mean, he wanted to save Light. If he wanted to save Sarah, maybe I could understand. But the B'nai Amon and Moav should have gratitude to Oig, not the B'nai Yisrael. And that's not what Rashi says. Rashi doesn't say Moshe wanted to show appreciation to Oig. Rashi says Moshe was afraid of Oig because of the zuchus of Oig. Not because Moshe wanted to show appreciation, because Moshe felt Oig legitimately had merit. What merit did he have? He didn't do a mitzvah. I don't think Hakaras HaTov fits into what Rashi is saying. Rashi says that Moshe was simply afraid to attack Oig, and Hashem said, don't be afraid. According to this answer, it should say Moshe Rabbeinu didn't want to attack Oig because it would be ungrateful to do so. There are different perushim. What does it mean that Oig was the palit? Does it mean he was safe from the war, or does it mean he was safe from the mabul? But according to the Peirush that he was saved from the war, he ran and he told Avraham that Loit was captured. So I want to tell you what they say in the Olam HaYeshivas, and then I want to tell you the best answer of all. I think it's original, but the idea is solid. You can't argue on it, okay? What they say in the Olam HaYeshivas to this question, it's a beautiful question they say over in the Olam HaYeshivas. It's a kasha on the Brisker Rav from this week's parsha. And it's not just a regular Brisker Rav. You missed the first part of the shir. I'm not saying, oh, it's okay. No, I'm not going to forgive you. They missed it. But in the first part, we said that Brisker Rav is found in the official little black book. This is the official Sefer of the Brisker Rav Ala Torah. It's the very first piece. It's the very first Brisker Rav. So it's like a prized question. Here the Brisker Rav says the nations of the world won't get reward at the end of days. Not, God doesn't say they're lying. They did support Torah, but that wasn't their kavana, so they lose reward. That's a contradiction to Moshe Rabbeinu being afraid of the stira of Oig. So in the Olam HaYeshivas, they say as follows. They say, is building a bridge supporting Torah? When you build the Verrazano Bridge, that supports Torah? It doesn't support Torah. Yeah, but how in the world can a guy, a bachar in Brooklyn or Barapar, get to Lakewood? You need the Verrazano Bridge. You need the Atta Bridge crossing. So, but the act of building that bridge is not an act of supporting Torah. It enables support of Torah. Oh, enabling? If you want to get credit for facilitating, that has to be your kavana. You can't just come in, oh, pay up, I built the Outer Bridge crossing. No, you built it to rip people off on the tolls. So this way people forget Easy Pass, you know, you're gonna send them a bill in the mail, and then there are all kinds of, you know, you get texts all day long. You know, your Easy Pass expired, you don't know, is it true, is it a fraud, you know? So if supporting Torah means you built the yeshiva, You published the Sefer, not you built the Outer Bridge crossing. So they're trying to get credit for enabling Torah. That's not going to be possible if you're not mechaving for that. But what Oig did was, he didn't indirectly help Light. He helped Light. Light was captured and he was gonna get killed. So he went and he told Avraham. Now his kavana was that Avraham should get killed. But he didn't do an indirect act of chesed. He directly, he didn't facilitate Loit's rescue. He was the one who caused it to happen. In other words, when you do a good deed that's indirect, You need to have kavana for the outcome. If you do a good deed that's direct, then even a negative kavana won't uproot it. That's what they say in the Olam HaYeshivas. Okay? Tonight, we're going to say a straight-up answer, a very beautiful answer. It's based on something we said. About 6 years ago, on Parshas Vayigash, on one of the most difficult Arachayim HaKadoshes in the Torah. We know, and this is something I like to talk about, mitzvah is trichas kavana, right? We talk about that a lot. Mitzvahs require kavana, which means, technically speaking, if you want to get credit for a mitzvah, you have to have the formal kavana before you do the mitzvah. I am fulfilling this and this mitzvah. So, for example, let's say I'm learning Torah. Before I learn Torah, I'm required to have a formal kavana. I have kavana to be mekayim the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. I have kavana to be mekayim the mitzvah of saying Kriya Shema. I have kavana to remember Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim. I have kavana to put up a mezuzah, to wear a tefillin. This is required. This is how we paskin. Mitzvos trichos kavana. Maybe b'di'evet, if you didn't have that kavana, you could still be yotze, because why else are you doing the mitzvah? But you really are required to have that formal kavana before you do any mitzvah. At least davening once a day is midairaisa. Once a day you should have kavana. I have kavana to mekayim the mitzvah of prayer. Okay? Let's say, though, I want to help somebody. Let's say somebody walks into the room. He's carrying 90 different things. And I walk over and I help him. Do I need to have a formal kavana? I have kavana to mekayim the mitzvah of chesed. Is that required? So we're going to think about that a little bit. We know that when you put on tefillin, you make a bracha. When you put on talis, you make a bracha. When we do mitzvahs, we make a bracha. How come before we do give tzedakah or do mitzvahs bein adam l'chaveroi, why don't we make a bracha? Why don't we make a bracha? Asher kedeshanu b'mitzvahs v'tzivanu l'gmal chesed. I see a guy, he's frowning. He's sad. He's very sad. His team hasn't won in 30 years. Every year, they get the first overall pick. And for some reason, the guy they pick, he doesn't even know what direction to hold the ball. The second he gets on the field, he needs to start selling used cars. And the guy's mamish sebrachen. So you want to be mesameach him. Do you need, you say, Reb Yid! Yeah. Why are you so sad? He said, I'm so sad. I have nothing. I don't have a sports team. Should you say, Baruch Atah Hashem, Elokeinu Melech HaOlam, Asher Kedeshanu B'Mitzvos, L'Gmal Chesed, and then you tell him something to cheer him up. Do we make brachas on Bein Adam L'Chaver? Do you make a bracha when you give tzedakah? Do you make a bracha when you do any interpersonal mitzvahs? You do not make a bracha. Why? So the Kli Chemda writes in the Kuntshus Achrayin, because Bein Adam L'Chaveroi does not need kavana. And since you don't need kavana, you don't have to make a bracha. The reason to make a bracha is to focus your kavana. So a tefillin, you have to have kavana, you make a bracha. Tzitzis, you have to have kavana, you make a bracha. Bein adam l'chaveira, you don't have to have kavana, therefore you don't make a bracha. Why do you think you don't have to have kavana on bein adam l'chaveira? Good question. Why not? We paskin mitzvot shrichos kavana. Okay, says Rabbi Yosef Engel, because there's a fundamental difference between bein adam la'amok and bein adam l'chaver. You ready for this? The mitzvah of wearing tefillin is what? The result of the tefillin or the act of putting on tefillin? The act. What do you mean the result? What's the result? I don't know what the result is. God knows what the result is. My mitzvah is the act of wrapping it on my arm. Whenever the mitzvah is the act, you have to have kavana. You need to channel your thoughts to do that act. The act of putting on tefillin, the act of putting on tzitzis, the act of tefillah, the act of Talmud Torah, we're not in control of the result. We don't know what the result is even. But the mitzvah is the act. Acts need kavana. I have a question. What's the mitzvah bein adam l'chaveray? To go over to a poor person and go, the act of putting the dao on his hand, that's the mitzvah? No, that's not the mitzvah. The mitzvah is the result. The mitzvah is the result that he has the 20 bucks. The mitzvah is the result that he was helped. Is the mitzvah the act of me going like this and lifting up? The mitzvah is that my friend is helped. The mitzvah is the result. Whenever the mitzvah is the result, we don't care what you're thinking. Because thought is only needed for what you do. But when the mitzvah is not what you do, but rather the result of what you do, kavana is not important. The Beis Halevi, I once heard this from Rabbi Yonasan Sachs, Rosh Yeshiva and Beis Medrash Talmud. He brought a raya from the Shas Tshuvas Beis Halevi, Siman on Aleph, that we know that by the Korban Pesach, the Gemara says that someone who eats the Korban Pesach L'shem Kodshim is called a tzaddik, and the Gemara says in Nazir, someone who eats the Korban Pesach L'shem Achila Gasa is called a Rasha. And yet, the Gemara Pesachim says that and the Gemara asks the question. The Gemara says, not true. Who cares what the guy is thinking? By the Karm Pesach? Who cares? The Gemara says, he still did a mitzvah. And the Gemara in Pesachim says that by the Lechem Hapanim, that by Achilas Kodshim, we say that even if somebody ate just a tiny bit of the Lechem HaPanim, the halacha is that you're yoytzei the mitzvah. So there's a question when it comes to Achilas Kodshim. Is it needed to have kavana, or is it not needed to have kavana? And the Beis Halevi says it depends what the mitzvah is. If the mitzvah is that you have to eat it, let's say by Korban Pesach, the individual has to eat it, then it's required that the person has kavana. If the mitzvah is that the korban be eaten, that the result is at the end of the day the korban be eaten, then we don't care what the kavana of the eater was, because kavana is only an important factor when the focus is on the act, when the focus is on the result. We don't care about the kavana. Bein adam la'makom, we care about kavana. Bein adam la'chaveray, we don't care about kavana. Do you remember? Okay, we're going to wrap it up. When Yosef HaTzadik tells the brothers, brothers, don't sweat it. Ve'ata al teyotzvu, don't be saddened. Lo'yatem shalachtem oisihena. You didn't send me here. Ki Elohim, God sent me here. Why are you so upset? I'm not bothered by what you did. You didn't do anything. Hashem sent me here. Ki lemichya shalachani Elohim. Hashem sent me here to keep you alive. Do you remember what the Aruch Haim HaKadosh says? The Aruch Haim HaKadosh says, Atem chashavtem alai ra. You had bad thoughts to me. Elohim chashav alatoiva. God had good thoughts. You try to harm me, but God orchestrated that it should be for my benefit. So let's think. What did the brothers do? The brothers try to kill Yosef. Yosef says, who cares? You try to kill me. God had good kavana. Says Aruch Haim HaKadosh, you know what this is like? This is like someone who tried to give arsenic to his friend, and it turned out it was delicious wine. Come here. I have a very delicious drink for you. You know, we're very good friends. Come, you could trust me. The guy, he thinks he's about to pour his friend arsenic. He says, drink, drink. And he sees the guy drinking, and he sees the guy getting very happy. And he's very surprised because he thought he was knocking off the guy. And now the guy is drinking delicious wine. Is that an Avera? If you're mechaving to kill someone and you turned out you helped him, is that an Avera if you're mechaving? So the Archaim HaKadosh says, what Yosef is telling the brothers is, it's like a guy who tried to poison someone and he turned out he gave him delicious wine. So you tried to kill me, but you helped me. So all the Achroinim ask on the Archaim HaKadosh, it's like a guy who tries to poison someone and he helped him. Doesn't the Gemara say that if a woman thinks she's violating her neder and she didn't know that her husband annulled the neder, she needs kapara because in her mind she did an avera, right? Doesn't the pasuk say isha haferam vashem yislach la? If the husband annulled the vow, but the woman thought she was violating the vow, the woman is considered an avarion. She's a rasha because she needs kapara because she thought she was violating an avera. So what's Yosef telling the brothers? Who cares? You try to kill me. I know you tried to kill me, but it ended up being good. So everything is fine. You won't even be punished. What do you mean? I thought you get punished if you think to do an avera, and it turns out the answer is, if you thought you're eating, let's say somebody thought they were eating chazer, and it turned out to be kosher delight, olav hashalom, right? A guy thought he was eating chazer, and it turned out to be the burger delight. You remember that? You turn with the good pickle over there, right? He thought he was eating chazer, and it turned out to be burger delight. Do you need kapara? You need kapara. That's Bein Adam Lamakayim. Because Bein Adam Lamakayim, we care about your kavana. Why? Because Bein Adam Lamakayim, we're dealing with the act. When we deal with the act, it's all about what you're thinking. Bein Adam Lamakayim, it's dealing with what you're thinking. Because the focus is on the act. But by Yosef, they didn't do an Avera Bein Adam Lamakayim. They tried to harm him. Bein Adam Lachaveroi, it doesn't matter what you're thinking. Your Kavana is irrelevant, Bein Adam Lachaveroi. So Yosef says, I know you try to kill me, but it's interpersonal. But I was helped, Omaisa. So negative Kavana is not harmful, Bein Adam Lachaveroi. So too, when you do a mitzvah Bein Adam Lachaveroi, the same way, you don't need to have positive kavana bein adam lachaveroi. So too, negative kavana bein adam lachaveroi is not harmful, and you don't need kapara. So if you thought you were hurting someone and you turned out you were helping him, you don't need kapara. Coming back to Oig Melech HaBashan, I think we have a very obvious answer. If you built bridges and you made marketplaces and you made stores, and the end of the day you supported Torah, we don't care about the end of the day you supported Torah. The mitzvah of supporting Torah is not the result that Torah supported. It's the act of supporting Torah. But if that's not your kavana, you get no credit. But Oig Melech HaBashan was doing a mitzvah Bein Adam Lachaveroi. He's saving a person. Oh, but his kavana was bad. His kavana was to harm Avraham. We don't care about kavana bein adam lachaveroi. This is a chiluk that you could drive a truck through. This kasha on the Brisker Rav, that, you know, Brisker Rav said that from the Gemara Avodah Zarah we see that if you support Torah but you're not mechaving for it, you don't get credit. Of course you don't get credit. Supporting Torah is not bein adam lamakayim, not bein adam lachaveroi, it's bein adam lamakayim. The mitzvah bein adam lamakayim is the focus is on the act. Whenever there's a focus on the act, kavana is critical. Mashein kein, Oig Melech HaBashan is doing a mitzvah of saving someone. Question, did he save light? Yes. Was life saved? Yes. Oh, but he had wrong kavanos. I have a question. Light, does he care now that he's breathing, right? Light is breathing now. He's eating supper. He went to kosher delight. He had a burger delight with the pickle. Does he care that in your mind, your kavana was to harm someone else? No, the burger delight tastes the same, whether you're a mechavin to save him or you're not mechavin to save him. So therefore, Oig Melech HaBashan has a zechus, and Hashem said, don't worry about it. That is a very important klal in the difference between mitzvahs, bein adam lachaveroi, and bein adam lamakam. Bein adam lamakam, the focus is on the act. The result, we leave to shamayim. Bein adam lachaveroi, the focus is on the result. Was your friend helped? Therefore, kavanas are secondary. There is no question that your kavana enhances the mitzvah. It elevates the mitzvah. It adds to the mitzvah. But it is not a essential ingredient in the mitzvah, because the mitzvah is not... The mitzvah of saving a life is not driving the Hatzalah car with the guy in it. Oh, the guy didn't survive? Okay, I did the Maisa mitzvah. I did the mitzvah of driving a Hatzalah guy to the hospital. Oh, he died? No, that's not my... No, your mitzvah is that he should live. That's the mitzvah. The mitzvah is, when it comes to an Adma Chaveroi, it's to help your friend. Yeah? Let's say your friend needs a meal, and you serve him a hamburger. Your friend does not care what your kavana was, whether you had 6 kavanas, whether you had 4 kavanas, you had 3 kavanas. All your friend cares about is that the hamburger should taste good. Now, all your kavanas will enhance the mitzvah, but it's very preliminary and secondary when it comes to the world of Bein Adam LaChaveroi. Bein Adam LaMakayim, what? Okay, you're saying, how does the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh, who says that Yosef said that they're not responsible at all, fit in with the that they were punished?
And that we constantly always have this ticking.
So apparently the sin was not their kavana. In other words, they must have done something. They sold him. They sold him. They put him in a pit, you know, so... There were certain results. He suffered, you know. So good things happen. But by the way, that Aruch Chaim HaKadosh, they say about that Aruch Chaim HaKadosh, Harbei kolmasim nishtabru. Many pens broke trying to explain the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh, who says that what Yosef told the brothers was that you're pater even midinei shamayim because it's doimel lemeskavein lahashkos chaver kois maves vishgeo kois yain. So tonight we learned the famous question: how does the chiddush of the Brisker Rav in the beginning of Masechta Avodah Zarah fit in with Divrei Rashi in Parshas Chukas? So one answer is maybe Hakaras HaToiv is different. Another answer is that saving light is a direct good deed as opposed to the support of Torah, which is... It's not directly supporting Torah, it's only secondary, so there, kavana is important. And the answer we gave is the difference between Bein Adam LaMakayim, Bein Adam LaChaveroi. Bein Adam LaMakayim, kavana is essential. Bein Adam LaChaveroi, kavana is secondary. Rabbi Yisai, have a beautiful evening. Shkayach. Next week, regular schedule, Wednesday night. Shkayach. Yeah.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.